So I wonder if anybody here has ever been on holiday to Crete. I'd love to go to Crete. All that sunshine and history and scenery. Just off the coast of Crete, there's another little island called Spinalonga. Maybe you've been there. They tell me it's a bit of a tourist destination these days. But it used to be a leper colony. It was a leper colony until 1957. And there's a book called The Island. And Maria's read it. It's by Victoria Hislop, Ian Hislop's wife. And it's about a very normal woman living on the island of Crete in 1939. She has a husband and she has two daughters. And she becomes infected with leprosy. And so she has to leave her husband and her daughters, and she has to go and live permanently in the colony on Spinalonga. She was a teacher, and it was suspected that she caught leprosy from one of her pupils, whose parents had concealed the problem for a year, because of course they were so scared that if it was found, then this 9-year-old son would be separated from them forever. Such is the horror of separation that leprosy was causing, even in Europe, and even up to a few decades ago. Leprosy starts as a skin disease, but then it has many, many complications, and it goes very, very deep. Over time, it leads to nerve damage or muscle paralysis, so that hands, feet, eyes can all be really damaged very easily. It is not highly infectious, but it is infectious, so you have to be really careful around sufferers. And up until really quite recently, once you had leprosy, you had it for life. So this passage today involves a man with leprosy for whom there is no cure and there is no future. But I want to say that life for this man was even more pitiful than that. And the clue is in the language that this man uses. So I'd love you to have, please, the passage in front of you. I hope you're noticing that we're going through Mark week by week. We're in week 5 and we still haven't finished chapter 1. But we are finishing today. So please, would you have it in front of you? And look at verse 40. He doesn't come, this man, he doesn't come to Jesus and say, "You can heal me." Rather, he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And in turn, Jesus doesn't say, "Be healed." He says, "Be clean." The issue is that in Jewish culture and under Jewish law, this man is not just physically afflicted, he is regarded as unclean. He is cut off from the congregation of Israel. In fact, the leaders and the teachers of the law had built up this whole body of rules around uncleanness and leprosy, and the rules now said that even a chance encounter between a non-leper and a leper would make the non-leper unclean. So, of course, you did everything you could to avoid contact with any leper. They were to be doubly avoided. You don't go near them, and you don't let them near you. So this man with this disease is not just a picture of misery. He is a picture of utter separation. Utter separation. He cannot come into the presence of God's people, and therefore he cannot come into the presence of God. And as I thought about it this week, I realized that what we're getting here, actually, friends, is a picture of hell. This is a picture of utter God-forsakenness. This man is cut off. He's cut off from God. He's cut off from people. There is nothing he can do. It is a life of lonely, separated, God-forsaken darkness. But he's obviously pretty bold, because he ignores all the rules and he comes up to Jesus and begs him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now please, we've got to see what happens next. So verse 41, it says Jesus was indignant. Don't worry about that, we're going to come back to that. Just ignore it for a moment. I want to show you what happens next. Jesus reached out his hand. This is verse 41, isn't it? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He touched the leper. "I am willing," Jesus says, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I want to tell you a quick story about cleanness and uncleanness, just to illustrate the point here. So believe it or not, years ago, I worked for 2 weeks in the summer holidays in a cement works. It was Blue Circle Cement Works in North Kent. And my job for those 2 weeks was to strip the coal mill. Don't ask me why. And don't ask me what earthly use I would have been. I haven't got a clue. But what I can tell you is that it was absolutely filthy work. We would come out every day absolutely covered in coal dust. It was so grim that for the only time in my life we were paid dirt money. But here's the thing. I would come out every day so dirty, so filthy, that if you had so much as brushed up against me, I would have made you unclean. That's how uncleanness works. I'm unclean. You touch me, I make you unclean too. But what happens here is the opposite. It's the opposite. Jesus is clean. Jesus is pure. He is the holy, righteous, eternal Son of God. And when he touches the one who is unclean, it doesn't make Jesus unclean. Jesus makes the unclean one clean. The leper's touch should make Jesus unclean. Do you see, Jesus very deliberately touches the one who should not be touched. But Jesus makes the unclean clean. Verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. If you hear nothing else this morning, please just hear this message. Jesus is able to take your uncleanness and he is able to make you clean. You see, this is not just another miracle. This is not just the story of one miserable, God-forsaken man's glorious transformation. It's much more than that. This incident is a picture of what Jesus can do for you and me. As Mark goes on, he will make it clear that we are all like this leper. We don't look like it. We don't. And we may not feel like it. But like that man with leprosy, we're all unclean on the inside. A bit later in Mark chapter 7, Jesus is going to say, it is what comes out of us that makes us unclean. And what comes out of us, he said, are evil thoughts and malice and deceit, and greed, and envy. These are all things that come out of our hearts. They're inside us, and they make us unclean. And that is a massive problem. Because as we've seen, unclean people need to live outside the city. Unclean people are excluded. They're separated from God. A white, hot, holy God is a consuming fire who will consume everything that is unclean. So I don't want to tell you that you're a leper, but you are. I am. We are all, we've all got spiritual leprosy. And until very recently, we just said a bit earlier, leprosy was incurable and untreatable. In fact, the Jewish rabbis and the teachers used to say it was as difficult to heal the leper as it was to raise the dead. In other words, it's impossible. You can't heal the leper. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. We have no power to cure our spiritual leprosy. We don't have any medicine that will work. There's only one thing we can do, and that's copy the man in this reading. Verse 40, he comes to Jesus and he asks, he begs, I know that you can make me clean. Please, will you make me clean? He comes to Jesus on his knees. What does that tell you? He's humble. He's bold, but he's humble. He has nothing to offer. All he can do is beg, please, please help me. I've tried everything else. I've tried to clean myself and it doesn't work. So I'm coming to the King who can make me clean. All through Mark, we're going to find this is the pattern. All through Mark, this is these incidents that he tells us, they are mirrors that he holds up to us. Mark will keep saying, week in, week out, we need to recognize the problem that we've got. We need to recognize there's nothing that we can do about it, and we need to come to the one who can treat our problem. That's the message this morning. And I could sit down now, actually, because that's enough. But there's more, actually. And what comes next, I think, is really important. The man goes on his way cleansed. The man goes on his way healed. In some sense, he's put back together again. And he goes away presumably grateful. But this is not a fairy story. This is not a story where it says they all lived happily ever after. Far from it. Because Mark is giving us a true account of what happened when the Son of God walked the earth. And it's complicated. Because real life is complicated. And these are real events that Mark is telling us. So I want you to look at verse 43. Okay, verse 43. It doesn't end happily ever after. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. And literally it's a stern warning. Verse 44. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Out of compassion, Jesus has cleansed this man. But now he is very firm with him. He is very stern with him. And I think it is an echo of verse 41. Jesus was indignant. Now, here's an interesting fact. But if it's not interesting to you, then I give you permission to switch off for a moment. But I think it is interesting. If you were to go home this afternoon and you were to dig out an older version of your Bible, even an older version of the NIV Bible, you will see that verse 41 does not say Jesus was indignant. Verse 41 says Jesus was filled with compassion. That's what the older versions say. But I have not found one commentator or one scholar or one recent Bible translator who thinks that's right. Everyone is agreed it should say what it says here, which is Jesus was indignant. The suspicion is that verse 41 got changed because it didn't sound right. Jesus doesn't get indignant, Jesus is filled with compassion. That's the Jesus we want. So we'll change it. But I think we've got to deal with what it says here. Jesus was indignant. Why? Why? Is it because he's indignant at the state of this man? At what leprosy has done to this man? Is he indignant at the way we have a world which has produced this kind of suffering in this poor man? Maybe. Maybe. But I don't think it is that, actually. I think what happens after the cleansing makes sense of verse 41. This man does not do what Jesus asked him to do. Instead, he does perhaps precisely what Jesus knew he would do after such an extraordinary miracle. Verse 45, instead of doing what Jesus said, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news of what Jesus had done. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Do you remember the mission statement that we had last week? Do you remember the mission statement that Jesus gave us? He said, "Let us go to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. I've come to preach that the kingdom is near. I have come to preach repentance. I've come to preach the cross." It seems to me that verse 39, right at the beginning of our passage, I stuck it there for a reason. I think verse 39 gives us the pattern for Jesus' ministry. It gives us the pattern for Jesus' mission. So he, Jesus, travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. It's a spiritual battle that Jesus is involved in. Jesus preaches that the kingdom is near, and then he casts out demons as the sign that the kingdom really has come near. That's the priority. That's the mission. That's why Jesus has come. I mean, don't you think it's interesting? If you read through Mark chapter 1, how many demons there are? How many evil spirits there are? What is that about? Well, I think it's because it's a spiritual battle. And when the kingdom is preached, demons are cast out. That's what's going on. That's the kingdom sign. And into this walks the man with leprosy. And Jesus has this irresistible compassion, doesn't he, for the individual sinner. He has this irresistible compassion to heal and to meet people where they are and to deal with people. But his mission is to preach for repentance that brings people into the kingdom. And can I say, that was and still is a much, much harder message. Because so many of us honestly think we're going to live forever, don't we? We're not prepared to consider our mortality. In fact, I did a funeral visit the other day, and the family, they said to me, their dead father honestly believed that he would be the first human being to live forever. He was immortal till he died. And so I think Jesus sees, and Jesus knows, that this encounter with this man with leprosy is actually disastrous. He is compelled by his compassion to act, and yet he knows that these healings, they create this pressure, and they create this distraction, and they create this mass appeal which misses the point. And then we're told, I mean, isn't this awful? Verse 45, second half. As a result of what this man does, Jesus can't go into a town openly. He can't preach the kingdom openly in the towns, which is why I have come, he said. So as we finish, I just want to say this is a complicated story. There is so much to copy in this man. There is so much for us to imitate in this man with leprosy. He was bold, and yet he was humble. He was desperate to be cleansed, and he was so willing to come and to ask the one who could clean him. And we need some of his boldness, and we need his willingness to come to Jesus and ask. Come and ask, and Jesus will cleanse. But there is a time to speak, and there is a time to be silent. As our old friend J.C. Ryle says, we find that this man, in the warmth of his zeal, in the warmth of his zeal, he disobeyed what Jesus had told him. So much to copy, so much to copy, but this man lacked wisdom, and he ended up hindering the very person He wanted everyone to praise. So friends, let's pray that we would be bold in following Jesus. But at the same time, let's pray that we would have discretion, we would have common sense to know when to speak and when to be silent. Our problem mainly is that we just want to be silent. But Lord, let's pray together that we'd have wisdom to know when to speak and when to be silent. Let's pray together.